Let us turn for a few moments into the psalm that we read, Psalm 84. Psalm 84, where we basically see in all these words throughout the psalms the expression of this psalmist, of this Christian who is able to pen down his desires here in few verses. And obviously, as you read through this psalm, you realize that his supreme desire is God Himself. That's what this psalmist desires, to be at God's presence, to remain in His presence and fellowship. We don't know if this psalm was penned, written perhaps by David, or even if he was far away from the temple itself when he wrote this psalm, speaking about the place of where the Lord dwells. We don't know if he was probably persecuted by his enemies and then he was away from there. That's why he desires so much to be at his God's tabernacles. Maybe he was away from there if it was David. But we know from the title itself that this was written for the sons of Korah. This was in mind, in the mind of the writer. The sons of Korah, were they living right at the footstep of the temple? These were the descendants of Levi, were the gatekeepers, they were the musicians and all those involved in the work and the worship in the temple. So to them is addressed this psalm, to these people who were always at the presence of the Lord. And so this, we may call this psalm of this Christian man who is loving the Lord. We may notice mainly two big sections in this psalm. If you think the first half of the psalm, where the psalmist is speaking about dwelling with the Lord, remaining at His presence. And the second half of the psalm is speaking mainly about what he receives from the Lord Himself. So dwelling at His presence and then receiving from His gracious hand. These are the two main themes, as if you are dividing the psalm in two. So each of these two sections is bringing us three things. First of all, the psalmist is describing his own inclination of the Spirit. There's his inclination described at the first few verses. Then he gives us an image describing this inclination. And thirdly, he goes to describe the results or the effect of this inclination through the image given. So these three things are again repeated for both sections of the psalm. So, first of all, when we read about the description of the dwelling of this person in front of the Lord at his temple, what is his inclination? What is the desire of this man's heart, of his spirit? Well, there's verse 2 very clearly giving us this description of his heart, of his soul. He says, "My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." It is almost as there are no words to describe or even to paint this desire of the heart, this inclination of this man. He says, there's just marvel. The feelings I have, cannot be contained. My soul faints for the presence of the Lord, for His courts, for His tabernacles. That's where His soul is longing to. He has no other words to describe this. He just finds this in His heart. It's like a discovery of the work of the Spirit within His person. Notice, it's not only a mere desire, like for many other things, but even He says, faints. My soul faints for the courts of the Lord. In other words, I'm exhausted by my feelings. There's nothing else that moves me so much like this. There's not an inch of this body, not even a small part of this soul that is indifferent to this feeling. He's wrapped all together into this inclination. And He says, all I have and all I desire is the Lord myself, the Lord Himself. Now he has an image to describe this as well, and that's given in verse 3. We are told about a sparrow and a swallow. These birds, the sparrow is a small bird. I'm sure all of us have noticed one of these in the garden. Sometimes they look so frail, they have no defense. They run here and there, very alert, so not to be taken or not to be taken by surprise from any rumor around. This bird is rushing around very quickly at every sound. Anything that can happen to frighten him, he's very alert. He's scared by everything that moves around him. And there's nothing more than this small sparrow that needs a protection or a house, a shelter. And here is the psalmist giving us this image. The sparrow has found a house. Even the sparrow. Or the swallow, for example. The swallow is a bigger bird than the sparrow, but it's a bird that is laboring all the time for a place of refuge, for keeping his little ones. These birds are able to find shelter even in small places, and they go back and forward, continually working day by day, day after day, and giving rest and protection for making their nest for their little ones. That's the image given. Just as these small birds have found nest and house, O Lord, my Lord, my King, so You are my desire in such a way. Within Yourself, I desire to have a refuge, a nest, a house, just like these little birds have. What is the result of this inclination? What is the consequence of this image that the psalmist is given here? Well, read verse 4, 5 and 6. That's the consequence there where the psalmist is getting at. And he says, that's the blessing for me, for the Christian, for all those who trust in the Lord, to dwell, to remain, to be protected, and to be praising Your name in Your house. That's the blessing of the Christian. Blessed all those that dwell in Your house. And secondly, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. And verse 6, even more, that's the result of this God God's protecting power is verse 6 saying, even passing by the dark valley of Baca, where there is tears, frightening desert, and all sorts of dangers. That's this valley, what this valley describes. Well, by God's grace and by God's protection and with God's help and strength, this man is enabled to transform this dark valley into a well, into a place where pools of waters and refreshments are found. We may wonder, well, we actually wonder, especially when we are outside of persecutions or difficulties ourselves. We look at others, Christians, and we ask ourselves, how can they manage and or endure such terrible persecutions? How can we think of the Apostle Paul, that he wrote most of the New Testament right in prison? How could he bear so much? How could Bunyan write the whole Pilgrim Progress right there in that dark prison? How could that be? Well, is it not because of this wonderful dwelling before the Lord and with the Lord? It is exactly this result of the dwelling of the Christian with his Lord and at his very presence. And so that's where you are to direct your heart. That's where you are to acknowledge that this is the very place, as a true Christian, that you want to be, and that you want to redirect your mind and desires, because that's where all these blessings come from, dwelling with him. So that's the first half of the psalm. But secondly, if you go through the second half of the psalm, this man is describing not only the consequence of his dwelling with the Lord, but also what all he is receiving from the Lord himself. And there again, we find an inclination described, and then an image given, actually more than one, and at the end, the result of all these things. What's his inclination? Well, his inclination in verse 8 and 9 is clear. It is his desire to pray. That's what he finds in his heart. He cries to the Lord and says, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. There's his natural spiritual inclination of praying to the Lord, just as we are doing here tonight, and bringing his prayers up to him. It is interesting that is the mention he's mentioning here in verse 8, the regarding prayer and answering prayer, the God of Jacob. He's not mentioning the God of Abraham, reflecting perhaps great faith, but he is recalling the God of Jacob. Jacob, who was the supplanter, who was the one who ran away, who was the one who received from God himself promises at Bethel, or where he saw the promise of Christ and the blessings coming down from heaven to earth through the mediator. This God, the God of that Jacob, the Jacob who was the supplanter and wrestled with God, with the angel, and who prayed and cried, I won't let you go until you bless me. This is under the heading of prayer in this verse 8. This is what comes to mind to this psalmist. It is the God of Jacob. That's the comfort he has. And he says, give ear, my Lord. You are the God of Jacob who answered him, who transformed a life like the one who was a supplanter and was transformed by the Lord himself. That's the inclination of this man. He recognized that at his Lord's feet he is receiving all, even all that the God of Jacob granted his father. What is the image given to describe this inclination of crying to Lord, to the Lord, and receiving from him with his promises? Well, verse 10 and also 11 are speaking about, for example, the day in the course of the Lord. He says, only one day, or if I, through prayer and through this blessing, I could stay and remain only for one day in your presence, one whole day. I know that's even better than 1,000. Even living 1,000 days in this earth without God is not even worth. And one day in your courts is better than 1,000. That's the image given to us. So to remember how blessed and how fruitful and how rewarding is to be at his feet and to receive God's answers to prayer, to receive blessings from his hand. So that's the image of one day compared to 1,000, or even to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, rather than to dwell in tents of wickedness. That's the comparison that we are all to remember. Even to have the smaller and insignificant and simple job or task in God's house, in God's kingdom, it will be far more better, far better than dwelling in tents or being along with many friends, but wicked friends. Did we not sing from Psalm 10 how dreadful is the attitude and the thoughts of the wicked? Well, there's no reward at all, but rather judgment for eternity, to live along or to dwell, to share time with the wicked man. And it is much better to have a very simple job, but in the Lord's kingdom. That's the great image and comparison that we are given in this psalm. What is the result that we find in the last few verses, few sentences? There's nothing else for him to say, that the man that trusts in this God is indeed blessed. And the word blessed, remember, is meaning happy, more than happy, really, truly filled with happiness. This is the man that is blessed by the Lord of hosts. That's the result. The man who is dwelling in his presence and having the protection and the all that we have been given in the image of the two birds, and is receiving the strength from the Lord, this man is truly and indeed blessed. May we acknowledge and desire and recall how important it is to sing along these words and to make these words of the psalmist our own for our own life.